Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott, episode 33 for August 24th, 2007. Vive la vista! Windows Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/windows.
Allons enfants de la patrie, we're going to France to say hello, hello, hello to Paul Thurrott. Hey, Paul.
Hopefully.
How do you like that?
That was fairly accurate, and even the lyrics.
I thought we'd storm the Bastille today. You're in Toulouse. Actually, you're traveling around, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But normally you stay where?
In Paris or near Paris.
Oh, isn't that nice? And you do this, at least I know this is your second year. Do you do this every year?
Yeah.
Is that because you have French family?
No, we have friends out here, but we love France.
You just love to do it.
Yeah, this is the second summer we've done this. I mean, we go to France probably at least three times a year. So,
oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Is it the coffee?
It is the coffee.
Yes, and the food,
the wine,
the cheese.
Oh yeah, Toulouse. I'd never been down here. Toulouse is the center of the foie gras market in France, and I had an almost completely foie gras.
Oh, man.
Based meal last night. I know. I'm lucky I'm still alive.
I'm surprised you're awake. I love foie gras, but it's rich.
It is rich, yeah. And it's, it's just so good.
It's also, it's illegal in California now. I think they've kidding. I think they've actually banned it in California.
I don't want to get into that debate, but I can tell you that I let my daughter taste a little dab of foie gras, and I said, this is what heaven tastes like.
Yeah, I agree. And did she love? How old is your daughter?
5. She loved it.
She loved it. See, people think liver, but it's not. No, no, it's foie gras.
Oh, no.
We ain't talking chicken liver and onions here. This is foie gras.
Oh yeah.
And do you hear any geese in pain anywhere around?
You know the truth about the geese that get fed force fed for foie gras is that they actually have very enjoyable lives.
I'm sure they do. They have to be treated.
No, they really do.
Like kings, right?
Yeah, they come running to get fed. They love.
Oh, really?
They love them. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, there you go. So it's just a bleeding heart animal lovers fantasy.
Animal activists.
Fantasy. Oh, are we going to get the letters now?
If you'd like to advertise on our podcast.
I've always been a foie gras fan. I don't eat it very often, maybe a few times a year, but it is a special treat. And in fact, when I go to a really, really fancy restaurant, that's in some ways how I will one of the things I'll use to rate a restaurant. If they have a good foie gras, that's a good sign.
Absolutely.
Well, I can't believe our connection is so good. Now, we had to skip a few weeks. We took 2 weeks off because you were getting settled in. But we had planned to do a podcast last week. But this thing called Skype failed us.
You know, it's funny. The place that we're staying, which is outside of Paris, is in a place called Fontenay-sous-Bois. And I have gone back in time to stay in this place because we have an ISDN connection, if you can believe this.
Wow.
The friends of ours who are actually right up the street have a more modern cable connection, but it is so slow. It's horrific, and I was convinced that it was not Skype, that it was me. So I had planned to do this the podcast from the friend's house, and I went over there and was shocked to discover that it was still not working at my friend's house. And it wasn't until I think I'd read something about it online because I was convinced it was it must be. It must be ISDN, which
must
is why
be
this
France.
It must be France. Yeah,
it's France's fault. They're being blocked. Well, no. In fact, it scared me a little bit when on Wednesday I turned on Skype and couldn't get logged in, and then Thursday came and went, and we couldn't do a show, and then Friday morning we were planning another one, and it came and went with. I thought we weren't going to get to do Twitter. It finally came back.
Yeah.
Now they're blaming this. I find extremely difficult to believe, but they say. It's because of Microsoft's patch Their patch Tuesday broke it all.
Yeah. So, right. Now, I'm trying to imagine. It's like blaming Katrina on Mother Nature. You know?
It's Mother Nature.
in some ways.
I don't even know if this is credible. They say that the patch forced all those Windows machines to reboot. In the process, logging out of many, many people have Skype turn on, I guess, when it's boots.
But this happens once a month. I mean,
yeah, I think this is the most Fakatka excuse I've ever heard.
Now, supposedly, the guy who said this, I don't remember his name, but the guy from Skype who was on their blog, I mean, I apparently was later quoted as saying, no, it's not Microsoft's fault. But the way that they, you know, that they worded that blog post very clearly, you know, this is, you know, if Microsoft had just not done this, Skype would have been up and running.
Well, and that's the problem is I don't, even if they're not blaming Microsoft.
Yeah.
It doesn't even on, it doesn't make any sense. What? I mean, okay, Skype is huge. I mean, I'm looking now, there's 7.8 million people online. I suppose if 90% of them, which would be the number, if 90% of them suddenly rebooted all at the same time. But first of all, that ain't going to happen.
That's not how it works.
It rolls out, I mean, right?
That's not how it works. I mean, even if every single Windows machine was rebooting at 3 a.m., that would be 3 a.m. local time, not 3 a.m. Redmond time, so that it's not all happening at the same time. And of course, this would be spread out over the entire world. So there would obviously be, you know, bigger areas, the East Coast of the United States, perhaps the West Coast of the United States, you know, whatever. But
also, the patches went out Tuesday. This started Wednesday and continued through Friday.
I know.
And as you point out, this goes
through
on
Saturday,
and it goes on every month, right? I mean, it's not like they don't always require a reboot.
Listen, as a Windows user, the one thing you have to be used to is you're going to get updates on the Tuesday of every month. That's the way these things work. So
that's a good.
Yeah,
thing.
I don't know. So whatever. So you know, it exposed some software bug, an algorithm, whatever. They have found it and fixed it, and fine. You know, I would say this. You know, Skype has been around for a long time. They've never experienced an outage like this. You know, we've been talking a lot about cloud-based computing lately. This has become a big deal for me in the recent months, of course. But this is unique, and I think that's why it's interesting because, you know, to be honest, this sort of outage doesn't occur all that often. We've been doing just this one podcast now for almost a year. We've never had a Skype-related incident, and I'm guessing that in your own experience for
never.
A much longer
in two,
period of time.
In 2.5 years, never.
Yeah, never. So
now
it's not common.
Initially, Skype said, "No, don't worry. It's not a DDoS attack. It's not malicious. But then when they blame the Windows patches, it makes me think maybe it was something malicious, and they're trying to cover it up."
Oh, that's interesting. Well, it's a little malicious to blame Windows.
It doesn't even pass the sniff test. So, I mean, why would they make up this bogus story?
I don't know.
Unless they had something to hide. So now I'm thinking maybe there was something going on. I will never know, I guess. But this is
where you have to cue the music from the X-Files.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the cigarette smoking man when we need him?
I don't know. So anyway, well, it's too bad because for us, you know, we had taken 2 weeks off, and I think 2 weeks off would have been okay.
People were in pain, Paul. I just want to tell you, the Windows Weekly world was suffering.
I was suffering. I have a lot I want to get out. It's like this is a therapy session for me. It's like
yeah. So when did this obsession with Windows begin for you?
Perfect.
So, but anyway, so in defense of Windows, although look, when you have now, what do they say? There's 1 billion Windows users, and and when you have that many users, and you have something like an update that pretty much everybody reboots within a 24-hour period, I guess you could assume there'd be some consequences to that. It's like the old. It turns out to be a urban legend. The old urban legend that the sewer systems of major cities suffer during the Super Bowl because everybody goes to the bathroom at the same time. And we looked at that at MacBreak Weekly this week, and on Snopes it said it's false. It's not true. So I'm looking for a Snopes entry on this Skype thing.
Oh, I think there will be eventually. Yeah.
I just wonder. So, but it does, as you say, it underscores the fragility of our networked world. And as you say, when we're talking about moving our data into the cloud, where it may not always be available, that might shake you up a little bit.
Well, you know, if you think about the way the internet was designed with redundancy and so forth and multiple pathways, I mean, obviously the solution to this kind of thing is to duplicate that model, you know, with whatever mission critical web services you're using. I mean, one thing that's interesting and only semi-related, but here in France, there's a company called Orange, which does, you know, wireless internet and cell phones and so forth. And they actually sell a device that you can use in your home with a cell phone. So when you're in your home, you're using the cell phone over Wi-Fi to make what are essentially terrestrial phone calls, international, you know, within the country, whatever. But when you walk out the door with it, it's just a cell phone, and it uses the cell phone network. And that sort of model, I think, is the future for this stuff, where it works differently depending on where you are, you know, so that you get more capable systems if you can plug into a wire or something, and but you're still out there and you can use the cell phone network. So, I mean, how nice would it be if we could use Skype over whatever cell phone network we happen to be connected to, or it would just choose the best network, you know, wherever we were, if it was Wi-Fi or wired Ethernet or whatever. So I think we'll get there, but it's early.
That makes a lot of sense. And so you have kind of this dual system, so you're not reliant on the network all the time. Now, there's a analyst groups and Cisco have come out saying that if people start using internet TV, IPTV more and more, it's going to crash the internet. There isn't enough bandwidth.
Crash the internet.
Crash.
It'll be like the old lady who dragged the internet icon on her Windows 95 desktop to the recycle bin, and she said, "I just threw out the internet.
I broke it. You know? I threw it out. It's gone.
And how can I recover it? I want people to be able to get online again.
It's been deleted."
Yeah, it's the same thing. So
I'm surprised that I've read everywhere this story about Skype, and I have yet to see anybody even question it.
Well, I remember when this happened, my first thought was, Leo is never going to believe this. You know, he's going to think I'm in France and I'm blowing him off.
It's your fault.
I invented this story, like Skype.
No,
Skype didn't
fortunately,
work.
I'm just glad it came back because my whole network flashed before my eyes because it's without Skype there. Well, I mean, we would just do phone calls. I don't know. Actually, I was thinking, I don't know why we didn't just do a phone call last week. But
sure.
I'm so reliant on Skype, I didn't even think of it.
Mostly because it would have cost me $1 a minute. But, you know, how badly do you want to do the podcast?
Hey, by the way, don't use your iPhone in France.
Oh, I know. Well, I've been writing about that on my blog because, of course, you've seen the stories about the $4,000 bill, the $3,000 bill.
I got an email from a listener, $12,000.
Right. So what I've done is...
In 1 month?
I know. So obviously I'm here for a month and I am using the iPhone. So one of the things I wanted to do was make sure I didn't run into that kind of problem. So there are a number of issues here in this. We could talk about just this for an hour, but I guess the mile high view is this. I mean, A, you have to set it up for international usage before you go, which requires you to call AT&T. And they're very good about it. And they have different plans and none of them are very good. But, you know, that's the first step. The second step is you have to turn off all the stuff that might run up data usage without you knowing about it.
Yeah, it's like Safari and stuff. But there's more than that?
Well, you can't have email polling in the background. You got to turn all that stuff off.
Right.
I had a couple of different cities set up for weather. I turned all those off because you could just hit the thing by mistake and bring it up.
Oh yeah,
you know?
it checks it, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So there's some things you can't do anything about. If you accidentally hit the YouTube icon on your home, page, YouTube's going to load.
It's going to cost you $500 to see Chocolate Rain. I don't think that's right.
Absolutely. So I've been following this. I know that the phone calls I make from here or the phone calls I receive are going to cost $1 a minute. That's just the way it is. I know that. It's okay. I'm here for a month. Having the phone is a godsend. It's already proven its worth. You know, I step onto the metro. I forgot to bring the keys for home. I can call my wife on her European cell phone. We can arrange to meet somewhere. It has already paid for itself. That is fine. I know that the text messages I send and receive are going to cost 50 cents each. I don't do a lot of that stuff. I don't care. The stuff I care about is the data.
Right.
And I have been monitoring that. It's the one thing that AT&T has provided very detailed and daily information about on their webpage.
And you'll get a box when you get home.
I will. And by the way, I didn't turn that off only because I want to get one box of that.
Just to have it. Well, and you'll get one. I just got a text from AT&T saying, we've decided to go to Simplify Billing, so don't get your hopes up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Although you, in your if you're in Europe and you get a big bill, you would like detailed billing.
I want to see it. Yeah. I really want to see it. Yeah. And then I'm going to turn – you can turn that off. You can go to paperless billing.
Right.
But I've been watching this thing, and supposedly, according to what their data, I've only used about, last time I checked, 5.5 megabytes worth of data, which is almost $30. It's very expensive.
But that's still not,
No, but if you figure out $100, $150 for phone calls and maybe, $10 or something for text messages, that's the – well, plus – $6 for international access and whatever my monthly bill is, it's still going to be an expensive bill.
Is it AT&T or it's just the cost of roaming data, right?
Well, it's AT&T because you got to remember that AT&T offers international roaming to everybody but iPhone users. They have a very unique, you can get unlimited data on a BlackBerry for $70 a month.
Oh.
You can't get this on an iPhone. Now, I would have been all over that. And the other thing I've seen, and I think is very true, is they don't exactly go out of their way to explain to you, oh, by the way, all this stuff is pinging the internet,
right,
whether you're connected to Wi-Fi or not. So, here's a switch where you can turn it all off. One thing I'd love to see would be edge off except for phone.
Right.
Right? Yeah, they don't have that switch.
No.
And nor do they, the first time you connect to, France, Bogitel, whatever it's called, say, oh, by the way, you're connecting to what looks like an international network. Did you know that this, it's going to cost you $29 just to read this message?
Right.
That kind of thing. They don't do that. So I think that's part of the issue. But, those people who got $4,000 bills or whatever, I don't know what the heck they were doing. I mean.
Well, we have a kid, Alex Guichet, who is in Ireland, who does our show notes for us. He got a $2,000 bill. He called AT&T. They knocked $100 off.
$100.
Yeah.
Well, I'll pay up to about $500, but beyond that, it's going to be Paul v. ATT. In
yeah,
court.
Yeah. I think that poor Alex. I just feel so bad for him. He's just a kid.
Sure.
And for this to happen to him is just not right. Not right. And I've gotten emails from a lot of other people who had similar things. I'm trying to find this $12,000 bill. I couldn't believe that one.
Well, I'll let you know what mine says. If it's anything like that, I'm going to freak because I've done everything I think that you can do, I can document it. I've been writing about it. I've done everything. I've been checking the AT&T site every week to see, where I'm at. And the one thing I have to say, very good information on the data usage. They have zero information on my phone usage.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's not a huge issue to me because I know I've used it. It's fine. I know how much it's going to cost. But, if I can sort of do a rough math on this and arrive at, okay, this may cost me a couple $100, and then I get a $2,000 bill, oh, I'm going to freak on these people.
Oh, good.
It's going to be a horror show.
Let's do that on the show.
We'll do it live. It'll be like the
live.
You can record me calling AT&T customer service.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And just say, excuse me, I just want to let you know we're recording this.
Exactly.
For quality assurances.
I have thoroughly documented everything I've done to ensure that I didn't get this kind of bill. So I'm curious to know how it is that you have absconded with this amount of money.
I can't wait. You won't get it. I think you've done the right thing. I think mostly it was people who were just didn't think about it and were oblivious and assumed. Because frankly, I never paid any attention when I go to Canada and I got normal bills.
You?
And this last week, the last time I was in Canada, it was a $200 data bill.
Sure.
And it was like, what? Wait, what?
That, yeah, what happened here?
What?
Yeah. $200.
That
$200. I'd be ecstatic to get a $200 bill.
Yeah, no, that was fine. That was fine. I could live with that. Had it been $2,000, I might have really been a little worried.
$2,000 is not happening.
And I now know when I go to Canada to do exactly what you did, which is disable all these data pinging things.
Yes.
So Google has made an interesting announcement. Of course, they've got the Google Office, the spreadsheet. They bought Writely for a word processor. They've got a calendar. But they also have decided to start distributing Star Office.
Right. This is interesting on a number of levels. One is that Google and Sun entered into this agreement almost 2 years ago. So there were a lot of rumors at the time that Google would be doing exactly this, distributing Sun, Star Office, perhaps, doing other promotional material, things with Sun, and it never happened. So all of a sudden, a week or so ago, this appeared. The Sun Star Office is something that usually sells for about $70 or $80, I guess, retail. But Google is actually paying Sun some fee and is distributing it to users for free. And if you're familiar with this kind of thing, you might know that Star Office is the a derivative of the OpenOffice.org Office Productivity Suite, that free Office Productivity Suite. You know, the millions of people have downloaded all over the world and so forth. It's vaguely similar, I'd say, to Office 2000, perhaps. You know, maybe Office XP. It's not anything like the newest versions of Office, but it has all the tools. You know, it has a word processor, a spreadsheet, a database, all kinds of things. But the StarOffice version is interesting for a number of reasons. It has a couple of extra features that OpenOffice doesn't have. Of course, it's supported by Sun, and it has integrated Google search now, so you can search within documents and so forth. You know, but it's free. So, I mean, this is an amazing deal. So even when you compare it to the price of something like the teacher and student version of Microsoft Office, which is typically about $135, you know, getting StarOffice for free is absolutely an alternative. So I think this is just the latest, you know, salvo between Google and Microsoft in many ways, but it's an interesting development.
Yeah, you know, it looks a little long on the tooth compared to actually even Google's own offerings, but it is more complete, and it does sit on your hard drive as opposed to being a network solution.
Right, it's a heavy suite. I mean, it's a big suite.
It's all written in Java, which is why Sun owns it.
I'm not sure if it's all written in Java. I know that there are Java components to it, but it is a it's a big product, you know.
Yeah.
I guess I would just say that if you look at something like Google Docs and Spreadsheet, which is fairly limited and it doesn't have a few key features that I would need before I would ever even consider it, like, you know, the word reviewing feature, for example, which I use every day through work, unavailable through the Google Docs application. You know, this thing works offline. It has many, many more capabilities. It's much closer to a true Office type product, but like you said, it's archaic. It's almost like a Soviet knockoff. You know,
It really. The Red Star Office is very
It does have that.
It's built like Volga. Yes, very strong. Very.
It's like a French fast food restaurant. It's like somebody saw a fast food restaurant once, went home and tried to reinvent it, and they hit some of the high points, but they missed some of the more subtle.
Have you eaten at a McDonald's in France? You know, it tastes, they put the secret sauce is different on the Big Macs. There's something weird going on.
Yeah, I have. And, you know, it's funny. Yeah, the sauces are all different. You know, like if you get chicken nuggets, I got this thing that was basically tartar sauce.
Like who wants tartar sauce on a chicken?
I know, it's the weirdest thing. But they have there's a big sandwich here you can get in cafes called a croque madame or a croque monsieur.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah. So McDonald's sells a version that's called the McCro. You know, and they have McCafe. It's comical. I mean, it's really. But our favorite fast food restaurant is actually called. I just forgot the name. It's like Great Hamburger Company, or something like that. It's Great Hamburger Restaurant.
Yes,
and it's talk about truth in advertising. You know, it's just we sell hamburgers.
That's it,
and they're great. So come on in.
That's it. That's all you need to know.
It's hilarious.
It's all there. Great Hamburger Restaurant.
So StarOffice is like that.
StarOffice.
It's vaguely similar. It's free. So, you know, it's got that going for it.
It's the bizarro world office.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Some changes to Hotmail. Now, I downloaded on your recommendation Windows Live Mail to replace Outlook, or rather Vista Mail. And I like it a lot. I mean, I really like it. I think they've done a nice job. Is this more of that, or is this something new?
No, this is for the up in the cloud stuff. So one of the things that's been happening, and it's ongoing. So I'm actually going to talk to these guys the week after I get back, so about a week and a half from now. So I'll have more details in the future. But they're reworking Windows Live as we know it right now. You know, and one of the things they're doing is they're trying to keep the branding consistent across all the products, so that if you open up something like Windows Live Messenger, or you go to Windows Live Hotmail, or you know, Windows Live SkyDrive, which is that new storage in the sky service that they're offering, that used to be called Windows Live Folders.
How much is SkyDrive?
There's a free version, but it's very limited. It's 512 megabytes of storage space, which is nothing. So
that's great. One picture.
I've mentioned to them that they might want to bump that up a little bit
more.
But, you know, and obviously it's in beta now. So obviously when this thing ships in final form, they will offer different storage allotments for a fee, you know, a yearly fee. So Hopefully that won't be too exorbitant. Right now, it's just in a test, and it's 512 megabytes. So it's really just enough to throw a few things up there and take a look at it. But as far as Hummel goes, I mean, they basically rebranded the look and feel of it so that it looks like the other Windows Live stuff. And it's actually very attractive. It's got a neat look and feel to it now. And they've added some features back that just kind of went missing, you know, in the amount of time that they were, you know, working on the new version. And they did all this great stuff. They actually did, you know, lose a few features. You know, one of them is actually something you can do in Gmail, which is the ability to respond to Outlook meeting requests, which is actually huge, right? So why wouldn't the Microsoft email product do that? They've bumped up the storage, which a lot of people are thinking is a big deal. So previously, I think it was 2 gigabytes of storage on the free accounts and 4 gig for the paid accounts. And now it's 5 gigs for free and 10 gigs for people who get Hotmail Plus or MSN Premium. So that's more than Gmail, you know, temporarily, not as much as Yahoo, because they, of course, offer unlimited storage for email only. Although, you know, I don't know if you do you use Gmail? You use Hotmail primarily, I guess.
No, I use Gmail.
Gmail. Oh, you do use
I do
Gmail,
have a Hotmail account. Yeah, I use Hotmail, but not as much as Gmail.
Gmail did something recently I thought was interesting. If you bought storage from them, or now you can buy it separately, they aggregate it all together. So I had purchased 25 gigabytes of storage for Picasa web folders, or web, whatever it's called, the web, you know, the web folder,
the photo,
web,
yeah.
Photo service.
Yeah.
They aggregate that now with Gmail. So I used to get this message. It would say, you know, you're using 15% of your 2.8 gigabytes of storage, but now it says you're using 0.5% of your 28 gigabytes.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Which is hilarious. Yeah,
Apple does that too, and of course they just updated .Mac to have 10 gigabytes. So 512 megs does look a little skimpy.
512 is paltry.
Yeah, skimpy. Yeah.
If you got a USB key with 512 megs as swag, you would throw it in the trash.
That's right. Yeah, they come in cereal boxes now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, they get caught in your teeth. Yeah.
Exactly.
You don't. So I'm sure they'll fix that. But. So anyway, you know, it's just sort of a minor update. They worked on this thing. You know, Hotmail was in development for 2 years, this new version. So they released it, I believe, back in May. So it's only been, what is that, 3-4 months? And they've already updated, and they've pledged, you know, they get more updates coming down the road. So I think Windows Live now is on that, you know, that treadmill where they're going to keep, you know, reiterating on it and making it better. So this is one of those things that we're seeing.
I just went to Hotmail.com and it put me to Windows Live. I mean, it just says Hotmail in little tiny letters. You really feel like you're doing Live.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So is Hotmail kind of dead as a brand?
No, they're still pushing the Hotmail stuff. You know, they have a lot of people that like Hotmail. But, you know, on the other hand, I get requests almost every week from people who say, hey, when are they going to open up these live.com accounts?
Yeah, because I want to get rid of my Hotmail address.
Yeah, so, of course, a lot of people do. So, and I actually, you know, we've talked about this. I mean, I would have switched to live.com if they had allowed that, but right now they're still just pushing Hotmail. So I can't answer that yet. My guess is that when I do talk to them in the next week or two, we'll have some answers on when live.com accounts will be going live. So as of now, I you know, I don't know.
Is this because I switched to the new interface that I don't see Hotmail so much? If I go back to Classic, I guess it'll look more like Hotmail.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You know, it's interesting. They use this as a way to promote. Right at the top there, it says Windows Live Home, Hotmail, and then it says Spaces and OneCare.
Spaces, yeah. So Spaces is their blogging service.
Right.
And OneCare, of course, is that subscription service for security and PC performance.
So they use this as a way to, really an ad for that.
Yes. And of course, you know, they've got almost, what, 300 million users, I think. And if you push that little, the round button, you'll see a Windows start menu style, you know, menu will appear. And there's more stuff in there. So there's all kinds
of stuff. SkyDrive. Okay. Calendar, SkyDrive. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I did go back to Classic Hotmail, and it still says Windows Live. It's just a simpler one. So really, Hotmail is kind of passé.
Well, they tried to get rid of the name, and enough people complained that they kept it. But
that's all that lives is the name.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Of course, yeah. No, they have to move on to a new architecture. I mean, there are so many more users now than they were ever prepared to have on this system. So
it works. I like it. I mean, it's great. So here's SkyDrive. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, no, SkyDrive's got a very clean UI. You can only hold about,
nothing, but that's all right.
One week worth of pictures or something.
Right. moving right along. It's been so long since we've talked. Among other things that have happened in the last 3 weeks, the SCO lawsuit against Novell was thrown out, which means that, in fact, this should happen in the next week. The lawsuit versus IBM will probably be thrown out at the same time or after, as a result. So SCO.
Yeah. I believe that this, I haven't looked recently, but when this story first appeared, I looked at their stock price and they were trading at, I think, under $5.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing now it's probably about 50 cents. I mean, this was their only asset, was their supposed ownership of the Unix copyrights.
Right.
And they were suing IBM for $1 billion, I believe was the figure. They had alternating lawsuits with Novell. They were threatening to sue all kinds of other companies. You know, Microsoft and Sun actually paid them to indemnify themselves against possible lawsuits. And all that money now is owed to Novell, and they're just going to implode. I can't imagine this is going to go anywhere. So,
you follow the open source story too? I see. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Hmm. Oh yeah.
Let me just check. No, SCO Group stock is currently at. it went up. It went up 23%. So it
23%.
Yes, now it's 0.57.
Oh, 0.57. Okay, maybe it was 0.5. I'm sorry. 50 cents. But it's a 57 cents.
It's a, yeah, 57 cents. It's not worth
Leo, you,
a lot
you
of
and
money.
I could you and I could buy SCO tonight. Well, maybe we should.
Yes. Well, eventually, I mean, sooner than later, they're going to get delisted. Once you go over under a dollar, you don't really. You're a penny stock, and they don't really want to trade.
This was a multi-year charade. I mean, it was just so sad. So I think the big news to come out of this, of course, is that Linux in many ways is now legitimate.
Right.
All of those indemnification, baloney stories that we were hearing for the past 3 years are just...
unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll cover the new Xbox pricing. And, of course, we're going to have your software pick. I look forward to that. But before we go any further, we want to mention, of course, that Audible is a sponsor of this program, as they are most of the Twitch shows. We are so glad to have them. I know Paul's an Audible reader, as am I. You've been listening to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in France, right?
I know. I was telling you earlier, I was telling Leo that, I've been listening to this on the Metro. What happens is we'll go in to the city, and then eventually I'll have to come in. I'll have to go home myself so I can work, and my family will often stay in. So in those days, I'll listen to the audiobook on the way home. And the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I just laugh out loud on the Metro.
Which is not done on the French Metro, I might add.
There's not a lot of person-to-person interaction on the French Metro. So
it's a crazy American. He's laughing again. Yeah. Look.
It's awful because I get these looks from people when I just start laughing. And then, of course, that makes me laugh more. And
All right. Well, I've got a serious book for you for your next. Okay. I'm sure you've read this, but if you haven't, what a great way to listen to it. It's Dune. One of the great sci-fi stories of all time by Frank Herbert. They have a really wonderfully dramatized version of Dune, a full cast. So you get all the voices, 21 hours. I've been looking, ever since I finished Harry Potter, I've been looking for a long listen because I got, Harry Potter was well over 20 hours. Here's a little bit of the dramatization of Frank Herbert's Dune, one of the great sci-fi books of all time.
And the way she called his mother Jessica, like a common serving wench, instead of what she was. A Bene Gesserit lady, a duke's concubine and mother of the ducal heir. Is a Gom Jabbar something of Arrakis I must know before we go there? He wondered. He mouthed.
I love the way he just rips those words off. I tried to read this out loud to my daughter, and I got stuck at Bene Gesserit, let alone Arrakeen and Arrakis and all of the spice stuff.
You have to hit the British accent on this you're familiar, of course, with the movie. And
Please. This will wash that evil memory right out of your head.
Okay.
This is.
So I was going to say, I've always gotten a British vibe off of Dune for some reason.
And he's American. He's American.
I know. No, I know. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but that reading that I just, that's perfect.
Doesn't that sound right? And the music, the eerie music. And this, even if you've read Dune, you have not listened to Dune, and I highly recommend this. Now, I should check to see if it's one credit, because we only offer one credit. You might have to have another credit to get this. Let me check. But we do offer you a free credit when you join. You go to audible.com/windows. And I think it is only, could it only be a credit for 20 hours? That would be pretty amazing. That would be pretty amazing. Yeah, it's one credit. Amazing. Wow. So this is a good deal. Audible.com/windows. We get credit for you joining up. If you're already a member, well, just, you know, this is one to listen to. We like to recommend great audio books for your listening pleasure. And this actually, there's all the sequels are on here, too. So you can go on and on with Dune. It doesn't end with just 20 hours. Oh, no, my friend. Oh, no. Audible.com/windows. We do thank them so much for their support. And whether you're commuting or working at home or just, you know, putting the kids to bed or even just a little quiet time for yourself, there's nothing quite like a great audiobook. And these are really great. By the way, they also have Frank Herbert. The late Frank Herbert reading some recordings from Dune. So if you wanted to hear, let me play this for you. This is it's only 3 hours. It's not the full thing, but at least you can hear how.
See that my orders are carried out to the letter.
See, he's not quite as good.
He whirled, strode back down the passage to the great hall. Memories.
See, yeah, I guess that's of interest only because it's the author.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, you like the author.
Thomas Harris, but. I do, although I have to say the last one was impressive.
Yeah, it's acted out. Audible.com/windows. We thank them for their support. Let's move along to our next story. And again, this is something that happened a couple of weeks ago, but you've been out of touch. Xbox pricing went down. Actually, the news story is it's gone down in Europe too, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. You know, unfortunately, it's they still, you know, the big thing that everyone's waiting for is the new version of the Xbox 360. And
is that for
there's
sure?
No indication.
Going to happen?
Yeah, it absolutely. Yeah, the only question is really when it's going to happen.
Well, I guess that's obvious. I mean, of course, there's always a new one, but you think it's imminent?
Yeah. Actually, I'm not sure. So I know that there's a Halo 3 version of the Xbox 360 coming. Yeah, I know. Exciting.
Yeah, Master Chief colored.
Yeah.
If you were ever looking for something that was less useful than a Zune, I ask you to consider the Halo 3 version of the Zune, which is...
There's a Zune, too, that's khaki-colored?
Absolutely,
yeah,
and it's awful. It has sort of robotic lines on it, and it's just... It basically takes what is a very clean device and turns it into something very messy-looking.
They call it Spartan green and gold, but it just looks like mud has been applied to it.
The Xbox version, yeah.
I haven't seen the Zune one.
Yeah, there's a Zune one as well, so you can do the whole Xbox or Halo 3 thing if you really want to. But
there are people like that. I mean, I saw somebody who had a Master Chief costume for Halloween.
Right, so. That's okay if you wear that on Halloween. What's not okay is when you wear it on any other day, including by the way, the day that Halo 3 comes out.
Oh, come on! I want to wear it.
I don't want to be a spoil sport, but you know, I went to see the Fellowship of the Ring, the first Lord of the Rings movie, the day that it came out, and there were some guys sort of play acting elves versus orcs in the aisle of the theater. And I have to tell you, it took every bit of. You know, restraint that I had not to kill these people.
Makes you nauseous. Actually, I'm looking at this Zune. At least it's not that mud-colored. It's gray, but you're right. It's kind of...
They just busied it up, you know, it's too bad. So, you know.
A couple of days ago, Woot.com was selling Zunes for, I think, $179 bucks, something like that.
I think it was $149.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, the way it works, of course, is it's basically one day only. And although I notice, you know, but of course, by the time I see these things, well, actually, I guess I'm ahead of the time. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes. You know, it had not sold out the last time I looked, so I don't know. Maybe
even at $149.
Even at $149. Well, you know, it's they're not horrible. I mean,
they're not horrible. isn't that a big recommendation?
I want that quote to be on a Zune ad.
It's not horrible. Welcome. I just found out that a good friend, a guy I've known for a long time, works at Tech TV and a great video producer, has gone to work for the Zune team doing videos for them. So,
oh, well, he might know David Calton then.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
You know, it's better than, you know, Zune. I wouldn't listen to that on your ears. You know, that kind of thing. I don't know.
Zune, it's not horrible.
It's not horrible.
It sucks less. So, Xbox prices now what?
Yeah, so it depends on the version. So the low-end version only dropped by about $20. So it's about $280 in the U.S. This is the version that does not include a hard drive.
You've got to have a hard drive if you're going to get an Xbox.
You've got to have a hard drive. So the mainstream Xbox 360, sometimes referred to as Xbox 360 Premium, 20 gigabyte hard drive, got a $50 price cut to $350. That's the best deal, I would say.
Yeah.
And then they have an Xbox Elite, which is the black version, 120 gigabyte hard drive, fell by $30 to $450. The problem, of course, is that these Xboxes are all the old version, you know, 90 nanometer chips, loud as a jet turbine. You know, they run hot. And if you haven't heard, of course, there's been the $1 billion warranty, you know, thing.
So. Do you think they've licked that overheating, or is it such a fundamental design flaw that they won't fix it until there's a new version?
My understanding is that they've made incremental changes to the current generation to sort of stave off this problem. But that, of course, you're going to really need the new version to complete the picture. I told you about the group of guys. We play Halo together every month, and I just got an email from one of them 2 days ago, and he said, you know, God damn it, you were right. You know, my Xbox just popped up, Red Ring of Death, and now Microsoft says it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks before I get it back, which means he will most likely miss Halo 3 coming out. He will have to wait.
I've turned off my Xbox and locked it up so it will not fail.
Right. Well, you'll boot it up and it will do the Microsoft sound.
Oh, wouldn't that be awful when Halo 3 comes in the mail? Because I pre-ordered it by Amazon. And by the way, what did they say? 1 million units? Something like that pre-ordered? Huge.
Setting a record, yeah. So you'll hear the screams from space when that happens.
Looking. I can't wait. Now, we're close. We're only about a month off for Halo 3. Are you coming home from France just for that?
No. I'm going to be a busy guy when I get home. But I have... oh, my God. I should look at my schedule. I hope I'm not traveling on the day. I have... you know, I might be... What if I'm away? I'm going to kill... that would be horrible. Well, I have a trip to Microsoft right around that time. That's interesting.
Well, maybe you could be there for it. You could watch the 1 millionth order go out.
Well, anyway. I believe it's coming out on the 25th. And...
That's right, September 25th. That's right.
I can't bring my calendar up where I am, but
because that's because you have a Google calendar.
I'm on Wi-Fi, so I don't want to.
No, don't mess. Don't.
Yeah, I'm not going to look.
No. If all of a sudden Skype goes down, you know why.
Now I'm going to be preoccupied as I wonder.
Go ahead. You know what? We're going to pause briefly while he loads Google.
I have a better idea.
What?
Hold on. I saved the document about my for Christ's sakes, Paul. I'm flying to Seattle that night.
That can't be. How could
that means? Well, it means I can play it that day.
You'll get it. Let's hope you get it in the morning. You'll have a good 8 hours in there. You know what? Bring your Xbox with you.
Oh, speaking of which, I brought my Xbox with me to France.
Yes,
and the Xbox 360, as you may know, has a power supply that's the size of a Mack truck.
Yes.
And thus I assumed that it would be a switching power supply, that it would work in both locales. It does not. If you flip this thing over and look at it, you'll see that it's rated for 100 to about 127 volts, not 200.
You need a transformer.
Or 240. Yeah, which I don't have. So I lugged this thing halfway around the planet and then was unable to use it here.
Paul Theriot gets the Xbox 360 award.
Yeah.
The Traveler Award.
I tried.
Let's get your pick, and then I'm going to let you go, because I hear a Galois-smoking Frenchman in the background trying to get into the business center.
There has been an invasion of sorts in the room. This is true.
All right.
it's interesting that you could hear that.
Do you want to talk any more about that, or is it...
Basically, it's my traveling companions and my wife, and they're all
looking at you.
They're smiling in a silly fashion.
You're not wearing your Master Chief costume, are you? I hope.
No, I'm not. All right. No, I'm wearing my Spider-Man underoos.
Let's get our picks of the week going, and then you can go out to some fine, fancy French dinner.
There you go.
Don't they eat at 11 o'clock in France? I think they do.
They eat very late, yes.
Our pick of the week
is Customized Google.
Yes. I love it. It's a Firefox plugin.
Yeah, for Firefox, that's right. And the easiest way to find it is actually just to go to www.customizegoogle.com, all one word. And I just heard a mysterious sound. Did you hear that?
No, I did not.
Oh. then we will ignore it.
What does it do, Mr. Paul Thurrott?
It does all kinds of wonderful things. It removes ads from all of Google's web services. So, for example, if you go to gmail.com or whatever, they usually have those ads running down the side. That's all removed. If you do Google web searches, if you use Google Reader, if you use Google whatever, it can remove all the ads. For the web services that are important for this sort of thing, it will add always ensure that you connect via HTTPS over secure connection instead of standard HTTP, which may be valuable to some people. So
it is if you're on the road and you're doing your Gmail, you want to make sure that you're secure.
Absolutely, yeah. Over a Wi-Fi connection.
Like right now, yep.
Such as I am at this time.
Such as you are.
And those are the big things. I mean, if you flip through the various pages in the UI, it has all kinds of stuff. But I mean, to me, the big thing is just customizing Google in the sense that you get no ads and HTTP access, to me, is really the big deal. But I would have to say, too, just as a side note, that this is sort of part of my strategy for, dealing with Google, because there are other things you can do, to have sort of a better Google web experience. There's a Google toolbar that integrates very nicely into Firefox, especially, much nicer than on Internet Explorer. And but this is the big one. I mean, if I could just have one add-on for Firefox, absolutely it would be customized Google.
Highly recommend. I use it as well. And in fact, if you're using Firefox, you should be using this.
Yes.
I want to recommend something that actually I would like you to run, Paul. And I haven't recommended it in the past because it was a little bit heavy in terms of resource consumption. But the new version just came out a couple of days ago. It's much lighter footprint. It's kind of now you're going to think this is kind of crazy, kind of wacky. It's a web-based service called Wakupa. Have you heard of Wakupa?
Okay. No, I have not.
So here's what you do. You put a client on your computer.
Yep.
And now I know you're not going to like this, but what it does is it watches what you're doing. Now, excuse me. They just started to drill outside oil outside my window, so it's a little noisy.
Awesome.
Please forgive me. So it watches what you're doing and then updates the website as to what programs you're using.
And I don't have a problem with that.
No. Well, what's cool is I could subscribe to what programs you're using. I mean, wouldn't you, yes, folks, wouldn't you like to know what Windows expert Paul Thurrott uses day to day?
What pornography sites I am perhaps that browsing
at any time. Fortunately, it doesn't mention sites, but it does mention applications.
No. Well, here's the thing. So you were a while ago, we're using the Twitter service. And right. I understand you've moved on to something else.
I use Jaiku. Very similar idea. Yeah. And okay. Pounce, my friend Kevin Rose has one called Pounce.
Okay, so I've looked at those things, and I suppose that some people might be interested in that sort of thing. But my problem is, it's just too much work.
This is easy. You don't do anything.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In other words, if somebody could know, Paul was working on this article in Word, and then it could say, Paul is doing, that sort of thing. I could actually picture doing that.
Yeah. It won't say what the article is, but it will say you're using Word. And then people could say how often you've used Word versus, say, yes, Star Office. Right. If you try something new that you seem to like, they'll see all of a sudden that you're using it.
All of a sudden I'm using it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you go to wakupa.com and look at Chief Twit's profile, I use it on Windows and Mac. So yeah, you'll see software
for both.
W-A-K-O-O-P-A.com. W-A-K-O-O-P-A.com. Free to join. It's a free client. Before it did occupy a little extra memory on the Windows side, so I was a little hesitant to recommend it. But now it's very lightweight, doesn't get in the way. I've been using it for some time, never caused a crash or a problem. But it's they'll tell you if there's new versions available of the software you use. They make recommendations. You can see reviews by other users of software that you use, and then you can see a complete overview of your usage over time. So, for instance, I've used Firefox for 188 hours, 8 minutes, and 21 seconds. It's the most used application on my system.
Oh, I am pretty sure at this point it probably is true of me as well.
Yeah. Adobe Audition, 45 hours. Safari, 15 hours, because it's doing Macs too. iTunes, 12 hours. So you'll know everything you're doing. I think it's really kind of fun. And people can subscribe to it as an RSS feed so they can get the Paul Thurrott update. So if you do this, let us know. And we'll put it out there. You'll probably be Paul Thurrott.
I will do it. I had because I get a lot of email about this sort of stuff, I had created a page in the super site, what I use. And
perfect.
I have to go back every once in a while and update it because, of course, things change over time. And
this
so
is forth. Automatic.
This is automatic. So that's neat. So that's a good idea. And I will check that out.
I've really liked this. It's a lot of fun. WAKOOPA. That's my recommendation. Wakoopa.com. Paul's is customized Google. Google. A must have, if you ask me. I think if you use Firefox and you use Google, you've got to have it. Excellent mm-hmm. program. And I think we've done enough. It's time for a little vino and no, that's Italy. A little vin et fromage, and un peu de pâté, perhaps a little foie gras.
There you go.
Yeah, and enjoy yourself. We're so glad you made it. And are you going home this week, or are you going to be still in France next week?
No, next week I'll be home. We come home Tuesday, so all I'll right. be home. Just a few days.
Well,
before.
Safe trip. Safe trip.
And thank you,
we'll talk again next week. Thanks for
sorry. Sorry it took so long.
No, everybody's so happy you're back.
Well, so am I. And I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Paul. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Thanks.